Well, I'm glad somebody's laughing.
It's I just, like you just said, mind blowing. We just ate up 30 minutes trying to get audio, video, audio working. I don't know if the laughing is any measure other than without the video, you can't see me shaking my head, right? So you flip to what's the queuing system now when something's going off the rails and we can just kind of like stare into the camera and do the head shaker. I also had this sudden sense of liberty because now we're not live. We're not live for this one. It's the pressure's off. Say whatever you want. We can edit this out.
We could if we had time. And the other thing I want to say is I'm still going to look at the camera as if it's on because I've been trained now. It's been like, what, 31 episodes. So if I need to do a camera look, I'll just say it. I'm going to look at the camera and be like, I'm staring at the camera right now. So that's the first thing. The second thing is you're right. We're not live, but I'm full of profanity. I just want to start swearing on the radio because I'm so bothered. We literally ate 30 minutes trying to figure this stuff out. This is ridiculous. This stuff should be like, this is not a new fluency. We know this stuff and yet we can't get it to work. So I don't know, man. We're going to have to, look at other options because now I'm used to the video thing. So I think when you feel like you need to speak, you should click on the hand button on the screen. Like try
all right.
It so I can see if it works. Does it work when you
click it? Okay, let's see.
Okay, perfect. So I'll look for that, I guess. Yeah. Okay. Can you see mine?
Yeah, perfect.
Awesome. Okay, well.
I feel like it's this is that, I feel like we're somewhere in that moment of using like semaphore or light signals to sort of get each other's attention.
Old school,
but it's like new school because in some ways this is more advanced than, well, I guess you can always just do the human thing and start chatting over each other, which could be a total new dynamic too. But the other thing that I got used to doing was muting the mic.
Mm-hmm.
And you could kind of do it, I guess, but then you sort of, by muting the mic, it was also a thing to sort of, because I knew there would be visual cues to know when the talking could start again. You know, you could sort of watch each other go through the motions, whatever, the frustration and old school meets new school meets, I won't say I like this fluency doing it this way. I have gotten used to doing the video call version. And I feel like there's no good answer. Like I feel like I'm having like the thoughts, like, are we flipping to Zencastr to sort of kind of hobble across the finish line for the school year? I had that moment.
I'm still rocking the mute button. I don't know if you've noticed, I keep hitting it. You know what? Let's just, the purpose is to get the ideas out, right? The purpose is to have the discussion. So I think this will help us. We're just going to be messing around with the tool for a little bit to get back into it. But I mean, if that's the only way to do it, then let's just do it. But I don't know what's going on with Hangouts. Like, I just don't get it. And I don't know. Maybe I have some ideas, but I'm just going to keep quiet and let's move on. But hey, our on-ramp wasn't really, I'm feeling unsatisfied with the on-ramp this week. Number one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number two. I do have something I could talk about, but I don't want to steal your thunder. So how are you feeling this morning?
I don't think I have any thunder. I got to be honest. I don't know if I have. I got some stuff that I can throw down, but I have nothing that I feel like it's not itching at me. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So do you want me to drop then?
Yeah. Throw something down.
Okay. Are you familiar with new pedagogies for deep learning?
Fullan?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, our board is moving in that direction using NPDL for deeper learning and to help our students establish the competencies that are being seen or touted as the skill sets that the students are going to need as they move forward in our society, as we see it today, like collaboration, character, citizenship, communication, critical thinking. He calls them the six C's. Okay. And this stuff started like last year with our system. And then I guess what was happening was they were using a number of teachers that were chosen to pilot it or to do something with it. And now those teachers have become facilitators. And this year, people like me have been rolled in to the PD. And so we kind of started in January. But because of the fact that we don't have enough supply teachers to cover teachers to be released from the classroom, lots of PDs been canceled. Long story short, it was supposed to be a pretty robust PD system for this, and it no longer feels that way. But my class and I participated in a global discussion in April when the NPDL had their yearly conference. This year was in Vancouver, and there was a group from our school board that went to the conference, and my students were really engaged this year. Like I made a point last year, having participated a little bit with my class, to like dive right into it this year. And so we prepared, they put out like a question or like a topic they wanted us to consider for the global conversation. And so my students prepared, they did research, we created some content, we threw it out there at the people with the hashtag around this whole thing. Long story short, it's turning out to be a really cool experience because two of the people that went to Vancouver from our school board, they made a point of tweeting us back as they were there and as we were participating in this global discussion. Then they came back and we had a Google Hangout to kind of talk a little bit more about NPDL. And then just recently, one of the two individuals is a vice principal and he's got a grade 1-2 class that are doing a little bit of work with NPDL, and now they've rolled us into their work. And so yesterday, I was telling you this in the on-ramp, yesterday I wrote a blog post, a reflection about how this has come to be, right? And I think the title of my post is called something like Jumping into Deep Learning. And deep learning is not like revolutionary and brand new, but I really like the way that my class is working with this grade 1-2 class in being able to help the younger students, but also not just helping them, but it's leading my students into that critical thinking, into the deeper conversations, into like a territory that I haven't really had to like introduce them to. The problem is, here's what the grade 1-2s are doing. They would like our perspective on their work, on what they're doing. And what they're doing is they're talking about community and they're talking about the wants and needs of a community. So they created a T-chart of wants in their community and needs. And then they threw it at us and said, hey, what do you think of this chart? Would you add anything? Would you take anything away? And then it led to some wicked discussion and conversation in my class, which then we sent back to the little kids via Twitter. And it's been going back and forth. And now we're going to have a hangout this week so we can actually see each other face to face and continue the collaboration and to continue the communication. And hopefully that will prompt and allow us to continue our critical thinking, citizenship, character. So I just kind of wanted to put it out there because I guess I wanted to share the evolution of this PD in my board and talk about the barrier of, oh, we can't be released anymore because we don't have supply teachers to get us out of the classroom. So basically the PD that was going to be like directed has had to just be put on hold. And so the other cool thing is we got an email last week saying that HR has approved a session next week. So the bunch of us that got together in January are going to get together again next week for a half day. And I think from what I can tell, well, because we haven't been able to meet monthly to go through the NPDL process to kind of set us up, they've had to like step to the side and create like a new framework for us for the remainder of the year. But nevertheless, I just wanted to share, number one, the cool stuff that my kids are doing. Number two, that we, my students and I, continued with our own learning without having someone direct us. And number three, the fact that I went back to blogging. The last time I blogged was in September, and it was around the amazing work that my students were doing with Peter Cameron's students, the collaboration that was happening there, and I guess the deep learning that was happening there too. But it wasn't framed that way. I wasn't looking at it through that lens. So long story short, that's my piece that I wanted to share this week and kind of get your thoughts on it and just see where that conversation would go. But before I stop talking, before I hit the mute button, I have to tell you that I posted your, I don't want to call it a sketch note, man. I'm done with that word. But the little picture you draw that goes with our podcast every week, I posted it on Instagram. I really loved the simplicity of it last week. It was not complicated at all. You had like four or five images based on our conversation. I liked the way you wrote my Twitter handle in the middle of my beard. That was kind of cool. Anyway, so I'm going to hit mute now. I'm staring at the camera with this funny look on my face, and you're up to bat.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's let's go in reverse and then I guess go forward. The sketch noting. Yeah, there's something, I don't know. I'm fine with calling it sketch noting. I think it's somewhere between visual note taking. It's a way for me to kind of stay in the conversation, and it's funny because it feels really different now because I can't look up and see you in the camera. Does that make sense? I got used to sort of like having the teacher watch me do my work in the middle of the lesson or whatever. So yeah, I'm wondering if my work will be on point for this week. I have this weird, like the teacher can't see what I'm doing. And so I don't know if I'm not going to get my feedback. So that deep learning, do I want to go? Okay, now let's talk about your blogging. It's interesting because the blogging, I don't know you. When I think about you as a reflective individual, it struck me that I don't know you as a blogger as well as I think in other forums. And it just got me thinking about, you know, in the EDU space, the different ways that we get used to understanding our colleagues. I have colleagues that do absolutely nothing. It's just a conversation in the hallway. Other colleagues that, of course, use social media of some sort. I don't know if I have any colleagues that are close to me that I would necessarily run into face to face that blog. And often, when I talk to people about if they're going to start writing about their any experience for that matter, one of the number one things that comes back is the commitment idea, that it just seems like such a big commitment to sit there and write about it. And I get that. If there isn't something that you feel like you want to get out of your head, then, you know, I don't know if I would necessarily say sit down and start writing. It might feel kind of thin, like you're purposeless. So you saying that you haven't sat down to do the blog. We've talked about this before too, is having time and using time and then kind of measuring afterwards whether or not that was your appropriate use of time. We've bounced this time and time again about using the time that we have and kind of moving forward sometimes can be more effective than going back into edits and re-edits and re-edits. I know you're busy. I know that life and work life, we can just call the whole thing life, I guess, is busy for you. So I'm fascinated by the thought that you're pushing back into your own time in your own sort of like personal life and professional life in order to sit down and write. But the more pressing thing for me now is I feel like I want to go and read some of your back catalog of writing. I feel like I want to kind of dive into that and get to know you from that side. What do you, I heard an inhalation.
Yes. Yes. I want to jump in bad.
Jump in.
Okay. So the first thing is blogging is kind of how I got into this whole thing. And, so that's really cool to hear you say that you don't know me as a blogger, because that's not that's not how you and I have been communicating. That's not, my blogging has dropped since, starting, podcasting, and probably it was starting to drop before then too, because it does take a lot of time. Like this post that I wrote, number one, the writing stinks. So don't go there thinking you're going to be reading like Andrew Campbell style blog posts. It's not like that. I don't consider myself a writer, and I can delve deep into that some other time, but I feel like it's a great place. It's always been a place to warehouse my thinking and my reflections and my work. And so I appreciate that. I don't necessarily enjoy the writing process, but what I do enjoy is after the fact, I can refer to a post that I wrote with pictures and video that can give somebody a flavor of what I did in my classroom, what my students did, and how it kind of turned out. So I've always enjoyed that piece of it. I think that with the podcasting, I've enjoyed podcasting, and so it's taken me away from the blogging, and now I'm moving backwards because I only podcast with you on Decoded. So it's not, there's no prep for this podcast. We just do it, and there's not a lot of time afterwards with the processing, even though I can't always get it done. So that's the first thing. And I would love for you to check out my blog and to see where it started and where it's landed. The other thing I wanted to say, which left me, it had something to do with, I have several blogs. Like, I have a leadership one too, because, as I've been going through the leadership system in my school board, they encourage us to have a portfolio of sorts. And I don't like the binder. It's beyond binders. I don't want a binder filled with artifacts that is like a doorstop. So instead, I decided that what I was going to do was I was going to have a blog where I would blog about a variety of leadership topics. It would also involve like stuff that I'm doing or have done that I feel connect to the Ontario Leadership Framework. And so from that perspective, if I were to talk leadership with someone, I would refer them to that blog so they could see my posts about and my reflections on the work that I'm doing or the issues I'm bumping up against and how they relate to the to a framework for leadership, particularly the Catholic leadership framework in Ontario. Anyway, I think it's cool that you don't know me as a blogger. But I think I started blogging in 2013 because I was starting a project and I wanted to be able to document the project and the experiences of going through that project.
So I like the reference that you made to, you know, it's almost like you're prefacing the, go there to read Clough, you know, but you know, I don't know, you're sort of apologetic. It's just slightly apologetic to what is there. And I think that's a powerful note to anyone that's starting to consider blogging, is that, and even when I said that, if you don't feel like there's something that you feel compelled to write, I don't know necessarily if the idea of spit and polish and perfect posts is like, I don't put myself under that pressure to a degree. Like I sort of think to myself, if there's an idea, I feel like I need to shape it. I've gotten comfortable with kind of shaping some of my ideas in blog form. I've also gotten comfortable with the idea that my blog is more than just commentary on education. I can appreciate the idea that you have blogs in different spaces, and I have learned, and I think I suspected this, but I also have a clear understanding that if you're not writing in spaces where people are willing to talk about things, then your blog can be a very private endeavor. You can have a space where it almost feels like you're journaling to yourself, without ever having anyone kind of peek in. So there's a complex opportunity there to get your thoughts to the page. And I guess when I think about how you and I have gotten to know each other, it was just more of an aha moment that I could come from this either side. I'm so much clearer, I guess, on the, I would say, the philosophical you as a husband, as a father, and how that feeds into how that wraps around your academic experiences. I don't have the pure feed of, let's say, I've taken a couple peeks at your classroom experiences, you know, when directed, but I just realized I hadn't sort of gone in and had a look at what you're doing away from the times that you and I have on Saturday mornings. You know, the moment was very much like, there's those moments where I can remember my dad was coaching my baseball for the longest time, and then he took some time away from it, and I was playing ball with another coach. And it was only after he came and watched a practice that he realized not only where he needed to grow as a coach, but he saw the difference. He saw a clear difference in me because he wasn't always around me. So I think I had that moment too, that it's, you know, when I think about getting to know you better, or even if I extend this out, getting to know my colleagues, you know, measuring all the different spaces that you know each other in. I can definitely say that by stepping away from social media, I've pulled away from some of the spaces where, let's say, socially, I would, getting to know some of the people that were part of my, I guess I call it my PLN. So the people that are part of those links through social media, like, I don't have a lot of contact with them anymore. I started to follow their blogs, and in doing so, I'm getting to know a totally different side of them. Stuff that did not come up in social media, ideas that were not shaped in the short form. So I think you and I are coming from the other space, is that socially I am so much more connected to you than I am your professional space. We've had some convos about it, but I'm definitely looking forward to see. And I remember you had mentioned before you were looking at that that leadership blog, and it made me wonder. I'll ask the question before I forget it. I never did go back to that and ask you about how that was going, because you had mentioned that you were looking to sort of set up a leadership for individuals that were sort of looking at some higher levels of leadership within the board, and you're going to try and aggregate that together. So getting to know people in more than one degree, I love the fact that you're going back to blogging. I think that if someone hasn't attempted blogging, and this is a whole other podcast, there's a lot of different ways to get into that don't just have to be the written word. And finally, if you do put stuff out there, I've never really believed that it has to be pressurized to the point that you're putting out perfect pieces. So that's what I think about that. I noticed you didn't have your hand up, but throw down.
Nice. Oh, well, okay. Thanks for that. Yeah, for sure. The writing thing, it doesn't have to be perfect, right? Like, and actually I went to the blog. I started in 2011. So like, I'm a little bit, like, I have to say that I'm kind of proud. Like, now that I'm like, whoa, from 2011 to 2018, I have a place where I've been like recording my reflections, recording some of my process. I've been at like four schools or something since, like, in that time frame. Like, that's incredible. Three schools or something like that. different grades, different kids. Like, it's just so cool. Different experiences with people in my PLN who have assisted in some way, shape, or form. So for sure, the writing doesn't have to be perfect. It's what you want it to be. So if somebody wants to start blogging because they want to write and they want to do it like at a high level, high form, great. I started the blog because I wanted a place on the internet where I could refer people to so they could see process, they could see success, they could see failure. And it's kind of, if you look at it, it's like my life as a teacher and tech integration and risk taking and stuff like that from 2011 to today. So for me, it does exactly what I want it to do. The leadership thing. So what happened there was, well, I don't even remember how I think it was just a couple of emails back and forth just to let you know what I was thinking. There's a group of educators in my system that I consider close friends, colleagues, and they're all on a leadership journey, just kind of like I am as well. And I would say that they're leaning more towards formal leadership at this particular time. And I know that there's been some struggles with, you know, there are gaps. People have identified gaps in their leadership. And so they're working on closing those gaps. And what I wanted to do was kind of like get some action going here, like get some dialogue going, because if we're all interested, we all just, let's get outside of our little boxes and let's start talking, let's start challenging each other. So I sent an email to a group of people, and I would say 1, 2, 4 of them acknowledged my email and were all in. And so what I do now and what they've been doing is when we run across a really cool article on leadership or something to do with leadership, we will send it to each other. So just the other day on Twitter, George Kouros posted a tweet about relationship and how, you know, when you have a good relationship with someone and you're doing something for them or with them, it's, you know, the probability of you doing a good job of putting effort into it goes up. Now, that's not exactly what he said, but that's my take on it. And so I grabbed the tweet, and some of the people in this little leadership group, if you want to call it that, don't use Twitter. And at the beginning of this, they said, you know, if using Twitter is a hindrance, then I'm going to be hindered because I don't use it. My response was, if I see something that I think is pertinent to the conversations we're having, I will find a way to get it to you. So I emailed the tweet to the group. I said, check this out. Now, this time, nobody bit. I've not heard from anybody. But every now and again, I'll send something out and we'll have this great conversation over email. And now they're starting to do it too. I'll get an email from them saying, hey, check this out. This is really good around such and such. Let's talk about it. And so that, you know, that has to do with my leadership blog because I have blogged about working with these gentlemen. But I mean, it's just going a little bit deeper with people who have the same interests. So I love that, you know, you right away you talked about your blog doesn't have to be a place of like literary mastery. It can be whatever you want it to be. Before I started blogging for work, my friend, a close friend of mine from Ottawa, she came to visit my wife and I years ago. And I was asking her, how are things going? How are you doing? And she was on a quest to become a medical doctor. And she said, oh, you should read my blog because I blog about my life. And so instead of telling you, because we don't really talk because we're both living two separate lives. People don't talk on the phone like they used to in my world. So you don't really know. And so she said to me, I'm blogging. So you can read my blog and you can see what's up and, you know, what's going on in my life right now. And I remember thinking, oh my God, that's so cool. It's so cool to have a place on the internet where you can just refer people to and they can just go. And then my wife's cousin, her husband, he started a blog. He had to go over to Afghanistan for work. And so what he would do is he would blog about his life there, but also for people that don't live in the same city as him, he would blog about his kids and he'd take pictures and post the pictures on his blog so that his family, his extended family, could see what was happening in his life with the kids. Those are my earliest memories of blogging. And then, so when I got into it, I already had like an idea, and I knew that I wanted to warehouse my thinking. I wanted to warehouse my process somewhere. And like I said, the binder is no good to me anymore. It's no good. I prefer having it digitally so that anybody can check it out at any time, even if it's private. If it's private, you can still refer people to it. And I like that idea that people can journal to themselves privately online. So I hope I answered your questions. I'm not sure, but I like the spin that you took on that. And I do hope that you check out my blog just to see, hey, Roland used to work here, and this is what he did there, and this is how his journey started, and this is kind of where he is today. And, you know, I hope that somewhere in my blog I've talked about podcasting. I think I have with respect to my students, because last year that was big in my class. This year it's not so much. This year it's more video. And I haven't blogged about that, but I really think I should, so that I can warehouse some of that thinking, some of the process. So when people say, hey, you know, did you da 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 da, I can say, yeah. And before I give the mic back to you, recently, Andrew Campbell was doing a presentation. He was going to be doing a presentation, and he had remembered that I had written a blog post about mobile devices in my classroom and how I operate with them and how the whole thing flows in my little community. And I loved that he reached out to me and that I could just send him back a link and say, here's the post. And then he was able to read through it again, because he had read through it before. He was able to read through it again and take what he needed to add to his presentation. To, you know, I was honored that he was able to use my thinking, my work, my experiences, but that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't on the blog. And, you know, when somebody asks me about my take on mobile devices, I can say, well, go read the blog 2017. This is what was happening in my classroom. And I got it out of my head and I put it out there digitally for people to refer to. That I'm proud of that. You're up, Chris. And then I hate to say it, but I only have minutes left before I'm taken away from the podcast.
No, all good. All good. I've learned, or come to realize a lot of things in starting to really measure how I use technology just to communicate my ideas. And, you know, we've had previous conversations about me stepping away from social media. I haven't spoken much since then about the impact there. And I'm starting to see how the ecosystem is kind of woven into itself. There are people that I now follow blog only. And then every once in a while, I'll take a peek on, like, they'll make a reference to a tweet, so I can sort of see that in their blog. And it's the lines that I'm choosing to draw between learning. I'm compartmentalizing the learning to say that I'm going to do it away from social media. I'm starting to see the challenges in that. And you've said a couple times that quick share is for some people a valuable move. They want to be able to, I know of three or four people that may appreciate this. You know, it kind of extends a conversation, starts a conversation, can reconnect a conversation for some people. And I've really become fascinated in getting to know people that I previously just read their 140 characters or multiple 140 characters or 280, I guess, when it flipped. But getting to know them now at their deeper level of thinking. And to go back, to wrap it back to where we started this, you starting to look at that deeper level of learning, with your class and the other class, that sort of conversation that started, it makes me wonder about the future place of things like social media within the classroom and the cycle of refreshment where, you have this concept of being able to go deeper in our learning, yet using very thin tools to do it. And social media in itself can be, I guess, deep learning, but I'm starting to see it more as it can. It's the vehicle to deep learning, but it's not deep learning it unto itself. And I had a convo with another educator, Jen Apgar, about whether or not Twitter is a reasonable blogging platform. You know, I mean, when it first started, that idea of microblogging, but is it a reasonable blogging platform? And I think we kind of got to a bit of a stalemate there, that because for her, she needs that. She needs to sort of just get the idea out. She has to push it out there. She'll go back and she'll look through her Twitter feeds, but she sort of has that for her to sit and write a blog is not something that she would naturally do. She would rather engage in the quick conversation. So just, I don't know if that's much of a wrap up, but I'm starting to see, it's funny to when I was involved with social media, I believe that was the only space that some of the conversations could take place. Now that I've kind of stepped away, I'm realizing that there are conversations away from social media, but it's a lot more difficult to get to. Well, I won't say difficult. It's a different type of learning because there's very little, hey, how you doing in the blogging world? It is a bit more of a commitment to sit and sort of read and sort of work through and to reflect. And what I find is I'm still using my sort of addictive patterns of expecting blogging to happen fast. I think that's still kind of getting out of my system. So part of the me putting down, I have to have patience with myself in order to put down a blog post. And then I also have to have patience with the fact that there isn't a ready stable of consumers there that are going to like or not like or throw down a comment or a redirect. It's a lot more of a slow process. And I'm still wrestling with that realization, I guess.
Lots of interesting points there about that. Lots of interesting points. You know, if people want to blog and they want it to be like a huge success in terms of bringing eyes to the blog and having comments there and recirculating posts, like, I don't even understand that world. That's not me, because it's a writing world and that's not me. Which is interesting because you and I have talked a lot about how to harness social media in ways to make it more effective and to bring followers and to create engaging discussions. But when it comes to blogging, for me, I still see, like, the blog is still, it's a binder for me. It's just digital, you know, like there's pages and there's lots to read and lots to see, but there's something about it. It's funny. There's something about it that is uncomfortable to me, but there's something about it that's very comfortable. So I don't know. I think it's cool to go back. Now, mind you, I have to say that the whole time I was writing my latest post, I was not happy. I was like, it took time. You know, like I would find myself, I'd sit down for a second, I'd crack open the computer, start typing. And it was a lot of typing and then gathering photos and typing and gathering photos and then grabbing a video. It was like that constant back and forth. And it was exhausting. It was exhausting for me to just keep doing the back and forth, because I felt like it was interfering with my story. So I know in the past, sometimes I've written out my story. I've told my story. And then I've gone out and found the photos and the graphics and the videos that add to the story, that go with the flow. But when I was writing this last post, it was chunk one, find the picture to prove what I just said. Chunk two, find the photo that provides the reader with an idea of what was occurring at that time and how my thinking shifted. So it is an exhausting process, especially for someone like me who I do not consider myself a writer in the traditional sense, but I guess I am a writer because I have a blog and I write. So again, and that's a whole skewed perspective within me because of my experiences growing up, learning to write and, you know, taking English classes in high school and being told you're not a good writer, right? And then, but what's happened is with the internet, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, for whatever reason. So it's If you want to be a writer, be a writer. If you want to be a YouTuber, be a YouTuber. You can do whatever you want. And that's the beauty of the internet in when you look at it from the positive perspective, is it's opened up new worlds to people that never thought they belonged in particular worlds. And so when I say today to you, I'm not a writer, and then I tell you I am a writer and I have a blog, I guess I'm coming at it from two different ways. You know, like, and maybe somebody who writes novels is not comfortable writing a blog post because that's not how they see themselves as writers. It doesn't come naturally to them, or they're just not, there's no interest there. I don't know. I just think it's cool that we talked about blogging, and I told you I have a blog, and I've been blogging since 2011. And I think, like, that's, I just keep thinking, I'm glad I did it, because I've got this thing. It's a thing, and I kind of like it. And I think what's kind of brought this on is a couple of days ago, a lady that I don't know tweeted about my blog. I don't have Twitter open in front of me, but she basically said, hey, I just found this blog. You should check it out. It's really cool how this guy talks about tech integration, and check out his stuff on VR. And I was tagged, and I was like, I would love further conversation on how did you find my blog? Like, what brought you to my blog? I would love to know those things, because sometimes I end up on people's blogs and I never tell them I ended up there. I just read the information, I enjoy the content, and then I move on. And that, I'm done talking for today. So I'm going to let you cut this down.
No, I'm all good, man. I'm all good. I think I'm still a little rattled over not having any of the video feed. Mm-hmm. It was funny. I found that without the video feed, my mind wandered.
Oh,
far more.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. My mind wandered. And I just found that there's something about the queuing system of seeing the human face that definitely sort of brings the, for myself, brings the focus back. It brings the focus back for sure.
Very interesting.
So I guess somehow try and figure out what the heck happened with the video for this week. So,
well, I've got some ideas that I'll throw down over text. Okay. And we can see if we got to pinpoint the problem, right? Like, is it?
Yeah, exactly.
I have a strong feeling that the problem's on my end. I do. I really do. I'm not sure what, like, I can do about it from my end, but I have some ideas, and we'll check it out. We'll see how it works.
All right.
Okay. So have a good week, and hopefully, in some way, shape, or form, we will have a podcast created next weekend if we're available. Next weekend's Mother's Day, so we gotta let the ladies in our lives have their time. So I don't know what that's going to look like for this, but we'll check it out.
We'll figure it.
Okay, dude. We'll see you next week.
All right, man. Yeah, for sure. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye.